Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Book and a Chat with me, Barry.
Get up in the morning, sag a thing you do. Put on the kettle, make a little brew. That'll do you. Tickety-boo. See you, Jimmy, don't you agree? Only one thing better than a nice cup of tea, and that'll be two. Tickety-boo. Blow away the cobwebs and stop yawning. A little cup and sorcery is magic in the morning, or in the afternoon, or in the evening too. Cheer yourself up, pour yourself a cup, tickety-boo.
Good evening, one and all. Yes, a Tuesday, nearly through to the end of August. I tell you, it's pretty, goes very quickly, as we said. But this is me, Barry, with another book and a chat. Well, I say me, just about me, because those of you who are in America and have read, seen a bit of things, we had a little bit of rain here in Connecticut, where I am, the weekend. In fact, my son, my youngest son, who's in the fire brigade, I think he got 60 calls. They had over 10 inches of rain in that part of Connecticut. Roads washed away, you know, all sorts going on. Forecast said 1 to 2 inches. They had 10 inches. slight issue, you know, never mind. Anyway, talking about issues, when people sort of say, well, why did you move from England to America? I jokingly say, well, you know, I couldn't take the metric system. You know, I'm too old to learn it. I had to come across to America to keep up with the imperial system. Well, my guest today, she's got the opposite. You know, she was okay with the metric system. She now lives in America and has to struggle with the imperial system over here. But that's what it is. Anyway, I better introduce her because I've got lots of questions for her. But on the show today, I have the one and only M.E. Proctor, as she's allowing me to call her, Martine. Hi, Martine, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Hello, Barry.
I am. That's good. That's good. As I said, you know, you're okay with the metric. You came to the imperial. I stayed with what I'd learned all my life, moved across to avoid the metric. But it's you work it out, don't you? Sort of a meter is 39 inches. Work it out along the way.
Well, it's a bit different for me. I still can't use the imperial system. I'm still in metric, and I absolutely don't understand why that crazy system even is in place still today. It's really, really hard for me.
Yeah, I know. And also, I've obviously, I mean, in my case, obviously the language is pretty much the same, though there are a lot of words that are different and a lot of sayings and stuff I use that people have no idea what they're talking about in America. But for you, from Belgium, I think, Brussels, obviously French or Flemish, I mean, do you sort of still do stuff in that language? I know I do. I sort of have to sort of translate mentally in my head a few times, or no?
Oh, you know, well, my native language is French. Uh-huh. Okay, I've lost most of my Flemish. Sorry, I haven't practiced it in such a long time. But for writing, English is really much easier for me. I mean, I learned English when I was 12 years old. Okay. So I've been in an English speaking environment for a very, very long time, and I dream in English. I sometimes dream in French. It really depends who's in the dream. But I don't translate. No, I don't.
No, I know, because I mean, I know some people, for instance, they sort of still count in French if you were sort of, because that's what you were learned. Yeah, you were taught, sort of thing. But okay. Now you've sort of gone from sort of writing lots of little short stuff to now developing. Mm-hmm. Not just, well, all sorts of novels, dystopian novels you've done, I know, and you've done some, you still do some horror stuff and that, but you've now gone into a bit of mystery with a new detective in a new series.
That's correct. I've been writing short stories for a very, very long time, and I also have 4 science fiction novels under my belt, but in 2014, so 10 years ago, I got into that situation where my husband cannot bring himself to read my science fiction. So I said to him, he just can't stand it. So I said to him, I'm going to write something you're going to read. I'm going to write a crime novel. And the idea came in 2014, and the character was born in 2014, and it took all that time for the book to come out. You know how the publishing industry works.
Right.
It's extremely slow. And so last week, a week ago, Love You Till Tuesday is the first book in the Declan Shaw, so he's a private detective, Declan Shaw mystery series came out, and there's going to be more, but right now I'm super focused on launching that one.
So, I mean, when you sort of looked at, do a mystery series, detective series, whatever, the choice is what sort of person is your detective, what sort of your hero going to be? Did you sort of go through different things before you ended up with him being a PI?
I wasn't sure he would be a PI to begin with. The name popped into my head, just like that, out of the blue. And my question was, with a name like that, what the hell is he going to do? And I wanted to write crime, and I hate those mystery series where an amateur, a la Miss Marple, stumbles onto crime one day after the other. It's just so unbelievable for me. So I was going to think, I need to make him a professional. And I played with the idea of making a journalist for a while, because I wrote as a freelance journalist for a while. And then I thought about making him a cop. My dad was a cop. And then I said, no, it's too many rules. I'm going to make him a private detective, but I'm going to make him a professional private detective.
Right.
Not a guy who plays, on the side, but somebody with a license, an official one.
Sort of like Marlowe and Spade and that sort of thing?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
But contemporary.
Yeah.
And, in today's world, with all the technology available today and all that kind of thing, and I decided to put him in Houston because I lived in Houston for 20 years. So I know the city pretty well, and it's not exactly served well in the crime world. Mm. People think about detectives, they put them in San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, whatever. But I decided to put him in Houston.
That's interesting what you say about putting him in today's world, because as you said, there are so many detective type books and series and heroes and that out there that are not. It seems that the minority is today. They're historical, or they're sort of, as you say, set sort of other places, times, etc. For somebody to be living in the world as it is today, with all we've got to help with these things, is actually pretty rare, I'd have thought, these days.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I know a few American crime writers. James D.F. Hanna has a private detective. His name is Henry Malone. And
I know him. Yes, we know
right.
Malone, yep.
Right, and then there's Sam Weeb, a Canadian in Vancouver, and he does the Dave Wakeland series, which is also contemporary. So there's a few actually. I'm not alone in the field.
No.
But I might be the only woman writing a male professional detective.
That's another thing, because I do come across male writing female, but I don't come across that many female writing male these days, which is interesting. One of the things that when you sort of look to get, to sort out your hero and that, did you allow Declan to have his say? I mean, I know that sounds stupid, but writers know that, we have no say in the matter when we write it. The characters lead
Absolutely.
You. They lead you down the path, minor characters or major roles. Some even demand their own books and that. So did Declan have his say?
Absolutely. He's been living in my head for 20 years,
right?
So So I know him pretty well, but he can still surprise me on the page from time to time because things are coming out. And I had a vague idea of his background, where he was coming from. And it kind of informed the first attempt I had at writing him, which is not the book that was published. You know, like many writers, you write a ton of manuscripts and then one of them finally makes it and puts you on a certain trajectory. But yeah, he's pretty much expressing himself on the page. I know it's kind of hokey to say that.
I mean,
but he's controlling.
We say it all the time on this program, and people say, "You're talking about characters talking to you." Well, they do. We had a lady. It must be about 4 or 5 years ago now. We were talking of the same thing about, you know, the characters leading you and everything like that. And she was like a historical romance or something like that writer. And this was like her 20th book we were talking about. And she was saying, you know, she had this character in the book she'd just written. And she tried to kill this character off, and the character wouldn't die. She kept trying to kill it off. Character wouldn't die. In the end, she had to rewrite the thing so that the character didn't die, because he wouldn't die.
That's pretty extreme. I'm not planning to kill him anytime soon. It's just too much fun to be around.
Right. When you sort of sat down and you started doing, interesting what you said, that, you know, it wasn't the first one that came. It was, you know, you sort of, you know, wrote a few of the series and stuff like that, and then it was one of those that really got picked up. What's your plan? Is it to sort of, have you got like 3 or 4 lined up after this Love You Till Tuesday?
Well, I'm going to give you a scoop. I mean, I have a contract for the next one.
Yeah.
And it should come out, hopefully, cross fingers, next year. I have another one. I'm not going to say, don't tell that to my publisher, but I have number 3 is ready in the wings somewhere.
Good. That's what you're going to do. Have one being published, one being edited, and write in the other one. That's what Steve Badley said. Yeah, that's what he does. He has 3 on the go at the same time, which is great, and sounds like you've got it like that.
Well, it makes you feel much better.
Steve Berry.
It makes you more confident going forward, because you can talk to your beta readers, you can talk to reviewers, you can talk to people well ahead of time and prepare the terrain for it. So I'm somebody who works really well under deadline, but when it comes to writing a book, there's so many pieces, so many parts that are in motion at the same time, that you can't really improvise at the last minute. So I like to have a little bit of a buffer zone there, you know?
Right, yeah. Talking about, you know, how you are with things like that, one of the things I notice about Love You Till Tuesday is it involves the murder of a jazz singer. And you, if I remember rightly, didn't you do writing for a music paper or something?
Yes, I actually, when I was still living in Belgium, in Brussels, I did some freelance journalism work for a magazine that is no longer in existence, but it was called Rock This Town. Mm-hmm. You know the Stray Cat song?
Yep,
we're gonna rock this
town. Yes, I sing it. I actually sing that. It's one of my songs I sing. So yes, I do know it. and we have Stray Cats appearing in Connecticut next week or so.
So I wrote for them, but I didn't write anything that had anything to do with music. They were specialized journalists doing that.
Right,
I was doing artist interviews, you know, actors, painters. I interviewed a couple of musicians, but I was mostly doing personality portrait stuff, interviews and reviews of theater, because I was very involved in theater, and reviews of art exhibitions and those kind of things. And I did that for quite a while on top of my regular job, because, as you know, writing doesn't pay the bills.
Right. So when it came to being, you know, based around this murder of a jazz singer, were you able to use any of your prior knowledge on that?
I probably infuse a little bit my love of playing the saxophone, which I'm not very good at. But the atmosphere of the clubs and those kind of things, and the choice of the title. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but I borrowed the title from a very old David Bowie song.
Mm-hmm.
From 1967.
Yeah.
And it was just such a perfect fit for the theme of the book. And I mean, the song's about this boy meets girl, and maybe if they're lucky, he'll love her till Tuesday, but maybe Wednesday at a stretch. And in this story, he meets her on Saturday night, and Tuesday he's being arrested for the murder. So you have that sort of it's a bit of an they call them an Easter egg in English. It's that kind of underlying meaning.
Right. Yeah. Indeed.
And I love that.
Indeed. The as a PI, I guess he's been around a little bit. He's not fresh to it, is he? But I mean, has he got any? No. Is there, apart from? I think he's waiting for Jessica Rabbit, isn't he? But apart from that, is there any romantic part of it?
Yeah, he's a moody guy, but there's a romance in the book. There's the beginning of the romance with the girl who dies that we never see on the scene, really, because the book starts at the crime scene. She's dead, so she never talks, she's never there in person, but there's a lot of women around him.
Yeah.
And there's one that matters more than the others.
Oh,
so there's a little bit of romance. I'm not a romance writer, but there's a bit of romance in
right
there, yeah.
What sort of response have you received so far?
Well, it's interesting because it's only been out a week. So
right.
Some people have had it on the Kindle and ebook and those kind of things. But I've had a few people who contacted me separately, you know, through email and text, and they say, I started reading it yesterday at 8 o'clock at night, and I didn't go to bed until 2 a.m. So it makes me feel really good. I mean,
yep.
they're missing sleep, but I feel good.
That is all you can ask. I always say that. I know I had a similar sort of thing with a lady on my YA book, that the lady got it for her son who never read, and she said he sat down and started reading it and didn't put it down till he stopped. So she said when he went to bed that night, I picked the book up and I read it and I couldn't stop it. The next day, the woman's mother picked the book up and she read it, and I thought, my God, these three generations couldn't put the book down. What more could I ask for?
Yeah, it's a really, really good feeling when I mean, yes, I've been living with this book for so long, you know. I still like it. I better like it. I've probably read it 6 or 7 times, proofreading, editing,
right,
and all that kind of stuff. So I better like it. I mean, it's like what Ray Bradbury was saying, you know, you better write what you like because you're going to read it a lot.
Well, one of the things I find is I might pick one of my books up and read them, and I start read, you know, I was on the plane beginning of this year, and I was taking a couple of copies of one of my books over to my family, and you know, it was a bit delayed, so I was reading it, and I'm reading it and I'm thinking, where did those words come from? They're not words I used. I don't remember writing that. Do you come across that you can't remember writing it? It's almost like, you know, you're in automatic mode, and then when you come to check it or something, I know, you know, when you check it, obviously, but then later on you pick it up and think, that's weird. I don't remember writing that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, you write thousands and thousands of words. You can't be expected to remember every single one of them, in over years and everything. I mean, today, a magazine here in the U.S. published a story, a crime story of mine that had been written more than a year ago.
Wow.
And I sat down and I said, okay, I vaguely remember who's in it. I remember what the story is about, obviously, but I don't remember a single line.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, well, this is a pretty cool one, you know?
Yes, exactly. That's not words I wrote. That was something clever must have written that. are you still going to keep up with your other books, or are you going to stick with your detective one for now?
I think I'm going to stick with the detective. I got to the end of the science fiction series with a finish that I liked, and it was, for me, it was over. I wanted that stuff out of my head. I'd been living with it for 20 years, so it was more than enough. And he has some mileage in the tank. He can go further, but I will certainly continue writing short stories. That's for sure.
Right. Well, because you know, you said that your husband couldn't take your science fiction stuff anymore. But then, of course, he's a writer himself, isn't he? So what does he think of the detective stuff?
Oh, he loves it. He loves it. He's one of my. He's a fierce critic. Uh-huh. He's my first reader. You know, when I feel okay, I got something. He reads the short stories too, most of them, not all, but some of them. And I give him the manuscript, and I just shiver. You know, because I know it's going to be tough. It's going to be harsh. And he doesn't pull any punches. He just tells me how it is, and I don't take all his criticism, all his remarks. I don't necessarily agree with all of them, but he makes the product, the final product, a lot better. So,
now, do you do it for him as well? Does he let you read his stuff?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I do. And I edited. He wrote a thriller a few years ago, and a short story collection, and I edited the books for him. So. I do it for him too, but I'm a little more velvet glove.
I was gonna say, I bet you know it's bad. okay, so Declan as a character, obviously, you know, he introduced himself to you and that. Was there anything in it that anything about him that surprised you when you sort of? You sort of develop a character. That's a very weird for him to be like that. Is it? Did he sort of pass anything down to you that you weren't prepared for?
No, not really. He has some of my personal characteristics. Mm-hmm. He's impatient, just like I am. No, sometimes he has a quick mouth. He tends to run at the mouth a little,
right?
Which I don't do. I'm much more cautious.
Okay, yeah. So his mouth leads before his brain. Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he opens his mouth too much and too often and gets himself into trouble.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. That sometimes the dialogue just runs away from me.
Yeah.
And I'll let it go because it's totally in character and it works fine.
That's
it can be extremely annoying.
You've got to let it go. I mean, that's your character. I mean, you start trying to hold your characters back, and it's like people say, "Oh, I've got writer's block." No, it's the characters won't talk to you that day because perhaps the day before you didn't take any notice of them when they were trying to tell you the story, sort of thing.
If you inject yourself in there, it's a losing battle. You can't do that.
Yeah,
you have to let it go. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Well, time is going. So what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you and have you tell everybody where they can find out more about you and, of course, your books. So over to you, Martine.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. I think the best place is my website, and it's pretty easy to remember. It's shawmystery.com. Shaw Mystery, one word, no spaces, lowercase, that nice stuff. And you can find the books there. You can find the short stories. You can find the interviews. You probably will find a link to this conversation also, because I'm pretty good at keeping it up. I'm on Facebook as Martine, with an E at the end, Martine.Proctor. And Proctor is P-R-O-C-T-O-R, not like Procter & Gamble. I'm on Twitter, M-E-Proctor3. I'm in all these things. But I think the best place is actually the website, shawmystery.com. And for those who like to read stuff free, I have a Substack post, a newsletter that I update every, I post something every 2 weeks. It's not really heavy. And you can find me, just search for the Roll Top Desk. And that's it.
Okay. Well, Martine, thank you so much for being a guest today. It's been really enjoyable. And I'm glad that your husband's finally found a book that he can read. And I'm sure it's, you know, the whole series is going to take off to great success. And perhaps when the next one comes out, you'll come back and chat to us again.
I'd love to. This was total fun. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Martine, or as she writes under, M.E. Proctor. And this is basically, you know, she's gone to write now onto crime books with this wonderful new detective called Declan Shaw. Up-to-date, modern PI. None of this sort of looking back and stuff like that. Great stuff. And from what I've heard and what I've read and some reviews that I've seen and people's views, it is a book that everybody is liking. So look out for it. Love You Till Tuesday by M.E. Proctor. Well, that's it. I'll be back tomorrow with a fresh guest. Now, as I said, I'm talking to somebody in Australia tomorrow, so it'll be very early in the morning for them. In fact, it'll be the day after I talk to them from, if you know what I mean. I'll be talking Wednesday, they'll be in Thursday. But that's the way it goes. That's the way the world goes around, isn't it? Anyway, I'll be back till then. So until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget.
Cobwebs and stop yawning. A little cup and sorcery is magic in the morning. In the afternoon or in the evening too. Cheese up, up, pour yourself a cup. Tickety-boo. Tickety-boo. Isn't that nice? All a cup of tea that makes you feel good twice. One love for two. Tickety-boo.
Hello everybody, and welcome to another Book and a Chat with me, Barry.
Get up in the morning, second thing you do, put on the kettle, make a little brew, that'll do you. Tickety-boo. See you, Jimmy, don't you agree? Only one thing better than a nice cup of tea, and that'll be two. Tickety-boo. Blow away the cobwebs and stop yawning.